I'm going to suggest a way of practicing for today. But if it feels too complex or too involved for like where you're at with your practice, then you can really feel invited to continue working with things that aren't working for you. So one of the really important ideas that we can have in practice is that the authority rests with you. Yeah, you decide where you're going to place your attention, how you're going to bring your attention, how you're going to shape your experience. The fundamental principles exist for all of us, right? That our experience will still depend on how we place our attention and, you know, where we place it. So you're still exploring the same teachings, you know, you're still developing the same insights into the dependent origination of your experience, and, you know, that's something really central. And that's what this suggestion is being offered for, that we can continue exploring that. So we're all on the same page, really. So we started off the talk yesterday with a little quote from the Pali Canon, you know, exploring that there's suffering and exploring, bringing our discernment to determine how does that come to be. And by determining that, we actually see the recipe that we can flip around and then see if we can bring that to cessation and follow that path of practice of, with greater clarity, seeing how it's arising, and then seeing if we can stop doing that and releasing. And explained, you probably heard it before, you know, dukkha, stress, in this case, yeah, we could say, depends on the clinging, the reactivity, the craving that we experience towards things, yeah, which is kind of felt as a pressure in the being. So stress arises with this sense of pressure through how we're relating. Contraction we can kind of feel in the heart, in the mind, in the being. We can feel that time pressure build up. We feel that urgency. I must do this now. If I should have done it earlier, you know, kind of all that. And it's stressful. Yeah. It's not like, oh, really? I have to think about that. It's like, yeah, of course, that is stressful. That is stressful. Yeah. And interestingly, that very question, how does this come into being, opens up a whole ton of ways that we could think, oh, it's really complex, you know, it's really tricky. There's so many ways that it occurs. But equally, we could say, there's so many ways we could move towards freedom. Yeah? Any of those ways. Well, what if I just relate to it without a sense of urgency? What if I relate to it without a sense of contraction in the heart and mind? What if I do these things? And I remember as a maybe late teenager in my 20s reading these really kind of inspirational books about like how we can live as a society from love and from aspirations like this. And as a, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to be a nice person. I'm not going to be greedy. I'm not going to be aversive. I'm convinced it's a great thing to do. It's not easy just to turn it off, is it? You know, okay, I just won't be greedy anymore. It's like, even in that moment, probably, you know, I really want something. And going about getting it and pushing ahead or whatever. So the word in the teachings, tanha, actually has a really kind of deep meaning. It can mean this kind of craving for things. It literally comes from this word of thirsting after. Yeah, thirsting after the pleasant. Thirsting after a situation where we've gotten rid of the unpleasant. And so it can build up into this unreasonable demand that we feel come through us as we contact the world. And the more significant something feels, the more significance it kind of lands with, the greater chances are that we're going to get into something that we might call craving or grasping, demanding, reaction, rejection. Yeah. And this all happens because of this element that Zahar brought up a couple of evenings ago, that projection of satisfaction or dissatisfaction onto things, onto experiences, onto beings. If this circumstance is like that, then everything will be okay. Or if it's like that, it really won't be okay. I need to do something about that. And it kind of triggers us into activity, and that activity builds into reactivity. Yeah. And there we are into that stress and that pressure. Yep. So sadly, what kind of is happening there is we kind of relate without questioning. There's a whole part of this teaching, which could be like skillfully questioning. This thing arises, this will bring satisfaction. I don't stop to say, really? It didn't last time. it's just like, this time it will, Or why? Why do I do this? What am I really seeking? Yeah. What if I don't do that? Yeah. And that's more the area that I want us to explore in the suggestions today. So before we build up into a lot of getting and getting rid of, can we bring a bit of time for a bit of inquiry before it builds up into painful clinging, craving, rejection, aversion, into the flood, right? So we can say that dukkha depends on tanha, but then there's this whole question. So what does tanha, this thirsting, depend on? Well, it depends on believing the Vedana. Yeah. It really depends on that. If we can just bring a bit of inquiry, a bit of question there. And what it means is it depends on quite narrow and rigid views. And that's why the flood isn't only made up of the hindrances, it's made up of those views. And wisdom, the application of wisdom, discernment, clarity is opening the view to a more beneficial understanding or lens. Yeah. So it's both the view, as in the sense of I understand how experience builds, and I'm committed to not building it that way. And the view here can also include the perspective or perception, how we see things, what we believe into things. We mentioned that the aversion story often kind of stitches together a quite a filtered bit of this thing. It's like, well, I don't like this bit, and I don't like this bit, and I don't like this bit, and I'm going to ignore the rest. But, I'm not going to see the fullness of that thing. It's kind of ignoring quite a lot. It's interesting when we don't react as much. It's like, oh yeah, it's also like that. And so it has these elements. There's also this part to it. Or what it overlooks in the greed activity. Yeah. Right, well, it won't last. Really. Is it worth it? Yeah. Bring that sense of questioning in. So part of what we'll be exploring depends upon something that can sound kind of complex, which is kind of the mutually dependent relationship between the ideas we have about what's appearing and how it appears. Yeah. So we spoke about these liberating views, and that's what I think is something that we can rest into a little bit through the practice today. So there can be the idea without deciding to think it that way, but like, this will last. And then we have the sense of this appearance that's worth getting, really worth investing our time and energy into getting. And we can actually have a sense, bringing in a different idea, this won't last. Won't last. And it can kind of soften in that way. Yeah. So the idea and the appearance, they co-arise. What in, we could say the idea is the conception, how we conceive of it, and the appearance is the perception. Yeah. So the conception, perception, will co-arise that way, have a different conception of something, and the perception of it appears differently. If I conceive of myself as an individual, yeah, and everything else is the world, I have a perception of myself in that way. If I actually look at it and say, well, this body is made of, you know, food, sunlight, water, really, what's the difference? It's just, you know, a collection of molecules. The world is a collection of molecules. Separate from that identity, I'm just a flow through of the elements of nature. Yeah. I take that conception and I have a different perception of myself. I feel differently about myself. And that can go really deep. So coming back to this idea, it isn't easy just to decide, I'm not going to grasp at pleasure or reject pain. Yeah. Yet when we change, we come under, we kind of mine under those subliminal opinions and replace them with more beneficial ideas, more wise views and perspectives, then things can open out and that reactivity can diminish and the dukkha goes with it. Yeah. So we're principally going to be working today with Vedana. But to give us a chance to kind of come into contact with Vedana, I think it's worth just mentioning again these kind of liberating views, sometimes called the three characteristics. And I think it's helpful to see them this way, as they're liberating views, not facts, not truths, but helpful, beneficial or useful lenses. So even though we can explain them maybe rationally and kind of get us on board with that, it's only the principle that we introduce them as ideas, concepts that change appearances, percepts, perception, that they're useful. Yeah. It's not that they're true. That's not the most important thing, if that makes sense. So this isn't an argument that you should see everything this way, but actually see what's causing dukkha this way and see if it relieves it. So this, maybe it's a pain in the leg. Again, the poor right knee was reached for. Like Sa said. But I actually get a lot more pain in my neck, to be honest. Or shoulders, yeah. And I find it really helpful when I look there to say, this isn't a fixed thing. I kind of just relate to it. It's like, oh, that pain in the neck, I hate it. You know, like, oh, I wish it wasn't here. But if I really come towards it with a sense, it's not actually still. Its boundaries aren't even fixed. It's not a solid thing in the way that I normally think of it. Yeah, we're bringing in what's called the anicca lens, which is to see it's dynamic. And when I come closer to it, I can see, oh yeah, it's actually, the bottom bit is kind of tougher, more firm. The rest of it's kind of actually a lot quieter. So actually coming down into that tougher part, I actually see, hey, there's kind of like a boundary to that. And when I look at it this way with interest, it's also changing. That's weird. It was solid just a moment ago. Big and problematic and difficult to be with. And now it's like, oh, I'm not sure if that's the solid bit or not. Where is it? Where's it going? And it's like, when we look at it, it's changing because of the different way of relating to it. So the kind of first step in the practice is going to be, this isn't as solid as I think. This is not as fixed as I imagine. It's dynamic. Can I allow it to be seen as dynamic? Even if it's only because I'm seeing it as dynamic that it's becoming dynamic. Yeah? Even if it's that, allowing it to appear that way. And that can be enough to kind of open up a different way of responding to it. So with the painful, we can bring in this attitude of compassion or soothing. And if we've gotten into the idea of the breath being like an energy, we could even imagine breathing breath energy into, around, through as a way of soothing, not as a way of getting rid of it. Yeah. Really important to remember that. This isn't, like, ha-ha, my aversion comes in through the back door. You didn't expect me. It's like, no, because it's great to practice compassion. Yeah. There's less suffering for us. And it's also going to be a skillful life tool. We want to be able to meet what's painful in life with compassion.
Yeah.
Not with fight. And what that reveals is actually the second skillful lens, which is this doesn't contain the dissatisfaction. It's the reactivity. And that's what the teachings are saying. That's what that story about when we went into the shop, where did the happiness come from? Where does the unhappiness come from? And the principle that we adopt, whether it's true, wholly true, or somewhat true, or not true at all, we're adopting it because it's useful to see it this way. This doesn't contain the dissatisfaction. And that pleasant experience, yeah, that doesn't contain the satisfaction. Yeah, and you can see that for yourself. If you imagine an experience that's really, really good, you know, you might light coming through the window, or sunlight on the skin, or a sense of spaciousness in our schedule, or you know, whatever happens, it's, it's quite nice. If I want more of that, you know, or I should plan my life around this. I should have that in the future. I should. It's like, it's not as good as that moment of just staying open, receptive. No sense of urgency, no sense of planning, no sense of controlling, no sense of owning, no sense of keeping, but just open palm, appreciative, enjoying, and we can enjoy it, yeah? You could get the best thing in the world, whatever that would be, like the best thing, and not really appreciate it, and there wouldn't really be any enjoyment in there. And someone could, alternatively, or us, could take something that's very everyday, an exhalation, and just really appreciate it, really enjoy it. Say, thank God we can breathe this clean, clear forest air. Priceless. Why? Because we appreciate it. Yeah, so the appreciation, the way of relating to it, the way of conceiving of it, all contributes towards the well-being. Yeah. So we ask that question, okay, so how does things get stressful? And then let's not do that. How do things get more easeful, more open, more delightful? Right? So the third lens is saying that this thing is dependently arising. Yeah. This thing is dependently arising. And we're kind of proving that through the way we're practicing. So we don't need to worry too much about coming into that one at this point. Yeah. So we see things as dynamic, and then we practice different ways of relating to them. Yeah. Contrary to what, you know, what the Buddha called an everyday worldling or something like this. An uninstructed worldling, yeah? Like how we come into the world. It's like, see something pleasant, get it. See something unpleasant, get rid of it. And we're like, no, see something pleasant, appreciate it, open around it, allow it to become dynamic. Be with it, linger with it, open around it. Yeah. Or other things you can do as well, but like that's enough for an instruction, yeah. Or we see something unpleasant, we don't need to get rid of it. Maybe it's arisen to be met with kindness and care. Yeah, we can take that view, practice that way, open in those ways. So there's a typical way of framing the teachings that way. It's like, find the dukkha, find what's causing it, you know, find our ways to not cause it as much and follow that path of practice. It's also possible to frame the teachings as pursuing a lasting well-being and happiness. Maybe you know this, but one of my favorite quotes of the Buddha is this question. I think the questions are really helpful, you know, that space to have that question. Really? Why am I doing this? What if we do something different? Really helpful questions. And the Buddha's question was, what when I do it, will lead to my long-term well-being and happiness. What, when I do it, will lead to my long-term well-being and happiness? And hopefully that's what we're going to be exploring today. So it's not just a practice of, you know, find the suffering, bear it, get through it, whatever. It's actually also a possibility to look for what might be delightful and delight in it, appreciate it, open to it, allow the nourishment, the well-being, the lasting well-being and happiness through what, when I do it, and doing, subtle doing is also considered making perceptions, yeah? Having experiences through how we attend, through what we attend to. So just before we get into the practice, a little bit more about the what. You may remember there are three Vedanas. Yeah, so there's the pleasant and the unpleasant. And then there's the neither pleasant nor unpleasant Vedanas. The neithers. Yeah, not pleasant, not unpleasant, the neithers. And those ones we really don't tend to notice. So Vedana as a practice can be really helpful as also, what am I not noticing? And what we won't be noticing is usually the more subtle, more quiet, you know, overlooked elements of experience. So, you know, if you come into a room and it's really smelly, oh, smelly room, you know, what are we not noticing? And we're not noticing how fantastic it is that we can smell at all. Yeah. Or we could even, you know, freshen this space up thanks to that. Yeah. So we overlook, to be able to smell, that is amazing. Even when I'm smelling something unpleasant, yeah, or if I'm hearing a noise I don't like, but isn't it amazing to be able to hear? Or maybe I'm not liking this sound, but really what it's the sound of is someone doing something caring for the environment or taking care of things. I don't like the sound of the Hoover, you know, whatever it might be. Yeah, I actually quite like the sound of the Hoover. But, you know, that can be part of what comes through. So the Vedana practice can also allow us, what am I not noticing? You know, as you'll know in these teachings, a lot of us don't pay attention to our breath outside of meditation. Yeah, and breathing. I feel that breathing's a neutral thing. So we can include what's overlooked. And when we include what's overlooked, there's this interesting quality. I think Zohar mentioned it, in the mindfulness, there's a kindness to pay attention, to give attention. Yeah. Is an act of kindness, and it starts to shape the Vedana of the overlooked towards the pleasant. Right? Things don't usually stay in the neither nor. They tend to move one way or the other, depending on how we relate to them, because our way of relating shapes the experience. So typically, mindfulness is an act of kindness. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of truthfulness and honesty, all of these beautiful qualities. And it trends the experience towards the pleasant. And then we can relate to it like the pleasant, linger with it, appreciate it, enjoy it, open to it. And that's the idea for today. Very simple idea. We'll notice that it's dynamic. Bring our attention in, not believing that it can contain the satisfaction or dissatisfaction that's projected onto it, and relate to it in skillful ways with appreciation, with compassion, as if it's arisen to be met with kindness, care, and appreciation, all of that. So I think we've got time to get through the three Vedanas before we head out for some walking, so we can have a little bit of taste of that, and I'll say a little bit more, maybe how we can moderate it so that it's a sustainable practice for us. Settling into the posture, into this moment. It'd be helpful just to remember we haven't experienced this moment before. So how is it in the body, in the heart. There's the intellectual quality, the thinking. If we feel we're maybe holding ourselves in, we help with a real exhalation to arrive into life. Many deep exhalations that feel supportive to ground into this moment, fully into this body, into this heart as it is right now, into this present, attentive awareness. Enjoying the sense of knowing life, knowing the knowing of life. And take a few minutes just directing the attention maybe to the breath, sounds, other sensations that are flowing through. And met with gentle attention. Creating a sense as you attend whatever you're meeting, it's rising and passing. It's dynamically flowing through. Can't grasp it, just meet it and release it. Keeping that sense of the dynamic, fluid, flowing experience. if we can notice anywhere, maybe in the body or other things, maybe in the sounds, it's also possible to find something that, you know, impression, the first impression might be, this is unpleasant, painful. An area of tension, an area that feels a bit blocked. Some kind of background high pitch frequency in the sounds or something we can tune into. Ooh, yeah. But as we listen to it, as we tune into it, coming not overly close, not pressuring it, just gentle receptive attention. Notice that it's almost like it's alive, it's vibrant, it's dynamic. There are parts of it that feel solid, questioning. Where are the edges? The idea that this has arisen to be met with kindness and care. Can we breathe with it or listen to it with a sense of soothing? We care. Maybe as we breathe around a bodily sensation or even into it, can be a sense we also relax the face, the belly. Sometimes the sensations disappear. We can just keep bathing the area with compassion, care. If there are sensations there to be bathed, we can also bathe those. Sometimes we feel in the meditation an urge to move. And we can also see that as dynamic. That's arisen to be met with kindness and care. And we can have a sense of breath, energy, the attention coming around there. Or even into there, if it feels right, with a sense of soothing. may even be appropriate at times to come towards the tenderness in the heart. That is something to get rid of. Also, to see is alive, dynamic, not fixed. Sense of soothing. Through the breath energy, the attention. As much as it feels helpful. Noticing how it is in your experience right now. Feeling into again the whole body or the whole listening sphere. Coming away from directly attending to the unpleasant. Allowing this to be seen as alive, dynamic, felt sense. If there's any sense of well-being, you can use that as an object of attention, or maybe there's some area of the body that feels okay or even pleasant. Could be a smile we allow to appear on the face. We're allowed to smile. Or a softness in the belly. Some people find the palms of the hand quite delightfully alive. Maybe there's a sound in the sound sphere for those working with sounds. Has a nice rumble. A pitch or unfolding, seeing it all as dynamic. Coming to that one specific sensation, maybe it's just one palm of the hand. Seeing it come to life in attention. Reading it with a sense of appreciation, interest. It's quite a rare skill to linger in appreciation. Tension might slip away. So I like to welcome it to attention. Allowing it to express. sometimes it's helpful to have this feeling that you're getting inside that sensation. The whole sense of it is so intimate that you're right inside it. There can be a sense of dissolving the boundary between you and it. It's like letting yourself be moved, touched, which you appreciate. This is a relatively new skill for some of us. It's so possible to take a break. Turn to breathing or listening. You can also continue if you're enjoying. Opening to the pleasant with appreciation. If appreciation feels too tricky, just opening to the pleasant. The sensations, or even to the sense of pleasantness itself. Taking a moment to feel how you feel in this moment. There's possibility of any way that that is. It's okay, it's welcome. Met with kindness and care, appreciation. And whichever sense door you're practicing in, it's opening through the whole of that sense, through the whole of the body, the whole of the listening. See if there's anything in there that's overlooked. Many times we don't pay much mindful attention to our earlobes. Take an earlobe as a neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensation that we could meet with kindness. Or the bottom of the chin, inside of the elbows, and little fingers, whatever you may not normally be mindful of. Or in the sounds, maybe it's the sound of silence that sounds come in and out of. See how we're the sense of kind mindfulness. Those can come alive, revealing a delicate world. We can open to and even appreciate. Whatever opens as we open there, just an opening to that, maybe a sense of appreciation or being touched, love or energy. So also open to be met with kindness and care. And then coming to an overlooked sensation, seeing how we can sustain attention there. A little bit longer. If that's enough of that, if not, carry on. But if it is, resting back again into the breath, into the listening for the last few minutes. Allowing experience to be light and dynamic. If it feels suitable, for the last minute, we'll just turn our attention to our sensitivity itself. Not what we sense, but that we sense. this bright, sensitive awareness that reveals knowing that we know, appreciating that we know. And then resting into the experience that you're having, softening. We come into the last moments. A very helpful piece of meditation practice advice is when you end the meditation, don't come all the way out. You've cultivated some different perspective. So you can come with you as you open the eyes, move the body. Thank you for the practice that you're doing and for allowing me to share that one. As I said, I hope it's not overly complicated, but if it is, then you can put it aside. So it's quite a lot to do in one session, although when you're being guided in it, maybe it feels somewhat possible. Something I find for myself is just a kind of reflection of like, where does my attention typically go? And I think for me, it tends more towards the greediness than the aversiveness. So it might be helpful for me to practice more with pleasant things and appreciation, because that's where the attention's already going to go. It's like, oh, I like that. And, you know, if you want, you could take that view of like, okay, I'm going to practice with that, bring that into the movement. And what I want to do is when I see something beautiful, like what I can see now, I can see the light catching the trees. It's really beautiful. And the color of the bark, the color of the leaves, things like that. Is it possible just to open and appreciate that? Maybe I'll take a moment standing at the end of the path, really just bathe in that, let that in, let myself appreciate and be touched in that way. For others, we might tend to more notice what's not okay, what's not right. Oh, it's a bit wet, you know, or whatever. Can we bring an attention there that actually doesn't react so much, but okay, it's like this. Soothing the energetics through there, or also meeting that with kindness and care. You know, kind of bring that element in. So still, both with the stillness practices and also the movement practices, I would use mindfulness most of the time. Yeah. And use this like a seasoning. So it's going to drop in a little bit of that once in a while into the practice and see what it kind of opens up. And then coming back again, feeling the, you know, feet on the ground or in the stillness, maybe feeling the breath or the sounds in the experience. And every so often, just notice, something pleasant. I'm gripping grass, it's like, softening around that, seeing it as dynamic, allowing that sense of appreciation, or something unpleasant. It's like, softening around that, seeing it as dynamic, however long that takes. And then when it feels malleable, feels workable, bringing in more of that kindness, care, compassion into that. I think that could be a nice way of integrating this. Okay, so we'll flow into our walking, stillness, movement, rhythm, half hour, and we'll come back at 12 if there's any kind of questions and reflections around that. Okay, thank you for your practice again. So the interview sheet is up for the later part of the day. There's also some at 11:35. Yeah, so we put some earlier to give a bit more time in the day for practicing from those reflections. So have a look at the notice board when you get a chance. Thanks.